welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Karen Rands. This is the Compassionate Capitalist, and one of the things that we do on this radio show is showcase entrepreneurs that are really changing the marketplace and making things happen in ways that many of us have never even thought of. And it's also an educational opportunity to hear all about new solutions that are in the marketplace and how successful entrepreneurs have gone about making that happen. And so today we are interviewing the founder, chairman, and CEO of BTM Corporation. That stands for Business Technology Management Corporation. Faisal Hoke is here with me today. Welcome. Faisal, can you hear me? Well, I've unmuted him, and I see his numbers here, I think. So anyway, if that's not him, he'll be calling in here in just a few minutes. Basically, the Business Technology Management Corporation is an innovative new company that is really creating a whole new sector in the marketplace. It's a convergence of business technology management. In my old IBM days, we had we were involved a lot back in the day of business to business solutions, helping companies integrate their different technologies for doing decision management, to understand their supply chain model, to understand sales reports, to understand HR issues, all of those different types of things. And it was a huge opportunity back then when people were moving off of mainframes or trying to still maintain legacy systems and integrate them. And so there's been a whole convergence of technologies now with the new web environments and the Web 2.0 environments. And so Faisal is one of those folks that has been a leader in this marketplace, and he has been somebody that has been recognized by the industry. He's actually one of the top 100 most influential people in technology, actually ranked number 5, and along with folks such as Oracle's Larry Ellison and Apple's Steve Jobs and Microsoft's Steve Ballmer. And so he's just been one of those folks that has been leading this way for a long time. And so we're going to hear from him now on, why he started this company, what's different about it, what is the solution that it's bringing to the marketplace, and what kind of progress he's having in that space, and what is the way that he's forging the way in bringing these new solutions to the market. So, Faisal, I believe you're here. Welcome.
Good morning, Karen. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you.
So what we want to do is start with what we always do is like your elevator pitch. So just give
sure.
us a short overview of your company and the solution that you're providing.
Great. BTM Corporation, or Business Technology Management Corporation, is in the business of bringing business and technology together. And the way we do that is providing a set of management framework and process, a set of analytical tool, a lot of research and education, but as well as a comprehensive solution that's augmented by very senior people in the industry to bring the business management and technology management together. We have all seen over the last 20 years or 30 years or so, there's a lot of technology innovation, but business and technology is still very much divided. So our mantra and mission in life is to bring that together so that organizations can have better financial return than what they have today.
Okay, so what's unique about that? It's not just technology, it's more than just technology.
Absolutely. I mean, people who are in the technology space, especially people who are in, let's say, enterprise technology space, we have seen a lot of process improvement type of things like ERP or CRM, that sort of thing. And they were uniquely focused on either improving the overall enterprise process management or, customer relationship management. Similarly, when it comes to bringing business and technology together, how you go about making an investment in technology, how you go about innovating a new business model with technology, how you go about creating an automated process with technology, that too requires a certain set of very disciplined process and approach. So we created a new space which called BTM, or Business Technology Management. What BTM focus on is bringing the business side and technology side together so that collectively the business side and the technology side can make better decision have and better better intelligence, whereby technology becomes, you know, part and parcel of any organization, and how do you go about managing it. And we have a lot of success thus far with very large companies like Pepsi Cola, Marriott, Northrop Grumman, you know, JP Morgan. We have also had tremendous success in overseas market with companies like French Social Security Service and BNP Paribas. So, you know, and along the way, also what has happened, because we are leading the industry with our thought leadership and research, we have huge academic support from the academic community, and many of the business schools now actually teaches how do you manage business and technology together based on our publication and research.
Okay, so you're also, it's not just about the technology and the services, but it's a whole new business model in the way that you're approaching this for these clients. And I guess that's one of the reasons why these Fortune 500 clients are sitting up and taking notice and getting.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, the traditional model of selling technology, doesn't work, and at best is very, very challenging. You know, people are not interested in buying new technology in general, and you know, people are customers are very, very much what do I get if I buy something kind of a mentality. So we have a value-based pricing whereby we go to our customer and we show where they're going to have financial return, either from cost cutting or from growth perspective, and then put together a program utilizing our own, you know, software analytic process, people and research, and then come up with a pricing model whereby we take portion of our fee based on the success of the customer. That's number one. Number two is that pricing is very much delivery based. So if we don't deliver something to our customer doesn't pay us. So we don't charge our customer by hour or by his 10 users, you know, licenses, etc. It's very much, you know, this is what we're going to do for you from a financial point of view, and as a result, we're going to get this. So customer likes that because most customers, especially today's economic environment, is very risk adverse, and you really need to show that you can add value to the customer's top line or bottom line.
That's great. So now, how long have you been in business with this company? When did you get started?
Sure. We've been in business almost 10 years now. We started in just post dot-com bubble. In December of 1999, we started the company. And since then, you know, we went through a pretty extensive R&D process as our first phase, and then we went out there and had one or two customer success, and then after that, you know, we focused tremendously on our brand, and you probably know this, Karen, and probably the listeners don't know that very well, but I mean, our brand is recognized globally now because of our the outreach with thought leadership and publication and whatnot. So we spend quite a bit of time on branding of the company, because, you know, if you're going to go sell to Pepsi and Northrop, you got to have a pretty unique brand and unique offering. And then, you know, last few years, we have honed our offering to the next level, and now we are in the process of the global expansion or global growth.
Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about your management team.
Sure.
You came from, I guess you started out at Was there a GE that you started out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, our management team and the board, which has been in place since day one, is a very, you know, accomplished team in the sense that, you know, for example, I myself, you know, worked a number of years in Pitney Bowes, Dun & Bradstreet, and then started a company that was focused on banking industry. I sold that company to GE, ended up launching GE's first B2B e-commerce spinoff. I did that for a few years and then started another company. And then post that company, started this company in 1999. Along the way, you know, wrote several management books, etc. So aside from me, the management team that we have in place, you know, whether it's our CFO, CEO, or our managing directors or VP, they all come from combination of entrepreneurial venture, but also very high-end Fortune 50 or 100 corporate officer. They have been corporate officers, so they all have had you know billion dollar you know P&L responsibility or budgetary responsibility, and it really reflects the type of customer that we're selling to. So so you know the management team is a fully, if I can use the term, fully loaded management team, even though we have a very small resource pool, meaning in terms of the employee pool, you know, we have a pretty extensive management team. And same with the board, you know, on our board, we have former chairman and CEO of Toshiba America. We have a Harvard Business School's associate dean as part of our board, a former CEO and chief marketing officer of Siebel. So these are all collectively, you know, pretty accomplished group of people. Aside from that, you know, as I was saying, there's a huge academic support. We have, you know, 50-plus top business school academics part of our research pool. So that obviously gives a pretty, you know, a big competitive advantage and keeping up that cutting-edge thinking in terms of how we should go to the market and how we should, you know, how we should create our brand that's uniquely positioned and adds value to our customer pool. And the other point also is that, you know, unlike many traditional, you know, technology-based company or technology-enabled company, you know, we didn't really go out there and raised money from venture community. We raised the money, you know, ourselves. So company is totally funded by the management team and the angel group, and we have pumped in quite a bit of money. Just in R&D, we have pumped in you know $30+ million between the equity and the revenue that we have generated.
Wow! So you're definitely unique in the form of I would consider you an emerging growth company in that you've had extreme experience and industry relevance when you put your team together, and then you had that gave you your personal access to some capital, but also the ability to leverage that to gain some additional access to capital because you saw a need many years ago, sort of at the forefront of this, and you've been a thought leader in it, as well as you know just a solution leader in this particular space. So. You've done all the things right, it seems.
Thank you, Karen. I mean, actually, you know, it is, you know, the problem we are trying to solve, it's really, you really need to come from, you know, from the problem you are trying to solve. I mean, you know, there's this word that the domain expertise, you know, we are really the domain expert in solving this problem. And combined with our domain expertise, we have built up a tremendous, you know, intellectual property base or, you know, set of very unique product and solution. But we have also augmented that with very high-end industry folks. And because it's a complex problem, you know, that if you don't have the domain expertise, it's next to impossible. It's how would you solve a you know a financial problem if you don't have a financial industry background. It's a kind of similar kind of an analogy. So from that point of view, it not only positioned us right, but it also creates a tremendous barrier to entry for any competition that may want to come in this space. So I mean, there are, if you look at the number one or number two players in each of the very high growth company, they're all very similar to ours in terms of the operating model and how they're going out in the market. So take one extreme, Bloomberg, take another extreme, Oracle or take SAP. They are leaders in their space because they have such a unique domain focus, but also the way they have crafted their business model and the way they went to the market and the time they have taken to methodically thinking about, how do you come up with a product, how do you go to the market, how to be very, very capital efficient, because, to do what we have done and without having institutional venture funding, it is a task by in itself, so you have to be very, very capital, capital efficient, and we've done all those things right, to your point, and we are confident that we are going to be one of those category killer or category leader, as whatever term you want to use, and will be very much recognized like Bloomberg or SAP or Oracle or whatever in our focus space.
So how is the economy impacting? Is this the kind of solution that people, I know there's all kinds of discussions about IT budgets going up and down and this. Is this something that they're embracing because it's making them more efficient and saving them money? Or what do you see happening?
Economy, down economy is challenging for any business. I would be lying to you if I said that we have tremendous growth potential because of down economy. But having said that, because of the economy, many companies are kind of frozen, and they're figuring out, okay, how do we create the competitive advantage above and beyond what we have currently, because we need to move forward. So it's forcing them to think very differently. So we see that as an opportunity. So we are having quite a bit of traction from that point of view with our customers, and our problem is that we actually have more opportunity than our bandwidth, and that's actually one of the reasons we are raising a little bit of capital now. But it's there's tons of opportunity in the market if you can first have the right offering, second that you have the access that you can reach out to the customer too, and the third that you are showing financial value to your customer. So I think we have a unique opportunity to leverage all those three business drivers.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great to hear. And the thing is that every growing company, that particularly a company that's growing as rapidly as you are, they always need capital. That's why banks and that's why everybody gets involved in that. They want to make money on your making money, right?
Sure.
That's all part of it. So.
So what
kind of challenges are you seeing besides, the growth side of the growth capital side of things? What kind of challenges are you seeing in your ability to adapt your customer needs? Is there an issue right now with the whole Web 2.0 and 3.0 community or technologies integrating with traditional legacy systems?
No, the new technology platform, whether it's cloud or Web 2.0 or any of these things, it actually creates new opportunity, both for us as well as for our customers. So just from our perspective, last year we went through a new a product development lifecycle for our last version of our product, where we have put all our offering on the cloud. So our customers can now access many of our framework application and intellectual property, at a very, a fraction of a cost. To just to give you an example, our framework, which we sold a multi-million-dollar price tag to a large customer, now can be accessed for $200 per user, by taking advantage of something like cloud computing and to a certain extent the web 2.0 functionality. So this type of thing I think creates opportunity both for the people who are providing solution services product, but also for customer, because what used to be not attainable now is very attainable. So if you're smart about it, you can take advantage of those type of things. So that's from our offering to our customer point of view. From a customer point of view, one of the things we have managed to do is because of this type of architecture or packaging, the customer has zero technology footprint when they utilize our offering. So, that's a tremendous leg up than, let's say, if they went to a traditional technology-enabled offering, because, who needs another technology? It's not technology that makes it different. It's how you utilize the technology that makes it all the difference in the world. So we do what we preach to our customer. We leverage technology to create business, better business model. That's our promise to our customer, and that's what also we have done for ourselves. So it's highly profitable for us, and it's highly profitable for our customer.
Right. You were, not too long ago, you were interviewed in the Wall Street Journal, and that was one of those questions that you were addressed specifically on that, some companies will engage you just because they want to improve their technology and they view it as an efficiency, and then others, the forward-looking companies, will look at it as a way to improve their business model so they're more competitive in the marketplace as they integrate and you take advantage of new technologies that are coming that you're able to incorporate into their overall business model. So you're able to address the variety of needs that these big Fortune 500 companies are facing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there is obviously, there is opportunity to look at redundant technology asset base and process, redundant process base, and take cost out, by streamlining that and consolidating that asset base. But there's also a tremendous opportunity to slightly looking at it differently and saying, okay, these are the current asset base we have. How can we create a new business model so that we can be more innovative and more, adaptive or agile to response to the various market needs? So the forward-looking customers will absolutely do that. And many customers, we started with a very small engagement, whether it's them subscribing to our online environment or to doing a assessment, and then maybe it will move to cost cutting, but many will turn into total transformation with multi-million dollar engagements with multi-year contracts. So in that context, we have devised a setup product and service portfolio that goes through the full life cycle of a customer maturity. Wherever they are in their maturity, we have devised the offering in each of those maturity levels so that we can help them. I mean, that's also why, we have three, really at the end of the day, three lines of business. One is research and education, which is really teaching them to become better business technology leaders and looking at how they can be forward thinking. Second is, and also bringing best practices, from various companies. So we have a lot in our roster of experts. We have a lot of CEOs, CFOs that gives their opinion how they are thinking about these kind of issues and problem. And then with the academic connection, we have managed to create the whole very formalized curriculum so that they can become better business technology leader. Second is, obviously all these on-demand framework application so that they can institutionalize their process and decision making with some level of intelligence and structure. And the third is the solution category, which is really transformation of a company's business model or making them more efficient, which requires either cost cutting or coming up with new business models. So because of those three lines of offering, we can engage with our customer in different way. And also our selling model for each of those lines of business is different, as you can imagine, you know, because some are direct, some are channel, some are co-selling models. So we have different kind of partners. You know, we're very much believer of creating growth with partnerships. So we have many different kind of partners, from individual expert as an on-demand resource to us, along with academy, boutique management consulting company, very large technology companies like, you know, that they're all kind of our part of our ecosystem that has created the foundation for us to grow. And we're very much taking a hub and spoke model where we are the hub and these partners are the spoke to reach out to the global marketplace.
Okay, so one of the things that we always want to try to cover in this type of an interview is looking at your barrier to entry. Okay, you know, clearly you've got a substantial intellectual property, you've got a substantial, team that's put together that's developed a new innovative model, so you're leading the way in this particular marketplace, but everybody faces some competition. So
sure.
Who is your competition, and what is the solution you believe, part of your solution that stands out?
Sure.
To differentiate you.
Yeah, I mean, great question, Karen. And actually, competition—the way to look competition—is even when you're creating a new space, you have to look at where does the customer budget goes to if it was not coming to you. So I look at competition from that point of view. You can't look at competition as anybody else is doing business technology management, because you know there is always an alternative to solve a problem. So if we were not in the marketplace and when we are not working with a customer, they would be spending that budget with people like IBM, people like McKinsey, people like Booz, and you know, because we have three lines of business, you know, they use that, the customer use a different allocation of the budget depending on what they're trying to get. If this is research and education, they may use it with, educational provider. So we look at all of those as a potential competition. But the uniqueness is that, when we do get to customer, we have a very high rate of closing our customer. When we do go to our customer, because we specialize, you know, our whole life meant, you know, work has been boiled down to bringing business and technology together, and we don't do anything else. That creates that differentiation, number one. And then number two is when you add up the team, the IP, and all that stuff, and top of all that, the business model that we have adopted, that financially aligning our customer's goal with our success, that creates a very different value proposition and competitive advantage than you would do otherwise. I mean, we're not like yet another, garage technology company coming up with some cool technology or wrote a couple of books and we want to be a management consultant. You know, it's a very different mentality.
Okay, so we need to, start to wrap up the interview. So why don't you tell folks how they can find out more about your company, what's your website, and how they can reach you?
Sure. I mean, we have a pretty extensive website, corporate website, and underneath the corporate website, there is pretty detailed information on each of these offerings and the customer success, tons of audio, video, et cetera, et cetera. And that corporate website is btmcorporation.com. So www.btmcorporation.com. That's our corporate website. And from there, you can see the management team, the offering, the successes, all the media accolade we have gotten over the years, and Forbes, Business Week, you know, CIO Magazine, you know, Baseline, et cetera, you know, you'll be able to see that. And also there is this nonprofit research think tank that supports our research process with the academic. All that available is on our website.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking to be with us today, and we look forward to working with you on an ongoing basis, and I wish you great success as you go to market and continue to change the marketplace as we know it.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.